For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Usually, we bring you Connecticut-based guests to this show, given that the state is now one of 48 suing Facebook over its alleged anti-competitive practices. I go all the way today out to San Francisco to bring you Bloomberg journalist Sarah Friar. She covers social media companies extensively for Bloomberg, and she's written a book called No Filter, The Inside Story of Instagram, available at all your popular book retailers. Sarah, this lawsuit basically alleges Facebook operates from the if you can't beat 'em, buy 'em and neuter 'em side of the street. Is that the way you understand it?
That's basically what the SEC is alleging, that they copy or try to crush or kill these or consume, I should say, these companies, making them a part of Facebook or trying to absorb their creations into Facebook and keep them from growing if they're not part of the company.
For your book, you talked with Instagram founders Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger. Facebook owner Mark Zuckerberg paid them $1 billion for IG. How do you think they feel about the way Zuckerberg treated them in their company?
Well, in the beginning, it seemed like it was going to be the best of all worlds. They were going to be able to join Facebook and get all of their resources while remaining independent. That's one of the things Zuckerberg promised, is if they joined, they would get to maintain their vision for Instagram. Unfortunately, when Instagram started to become more successful and grew in a way that accelerated past Facebook's growth rate, Zuckerberg started to feel threatened and started to restrict resources for Instagram. And so when the company comes out now and says Instagram could never be what it is today without Facebook, we made the Instagram you see today. And so if you were to break us up, that would be, you know, just inappropriate. I think the founders, the early employees are looking at it and saying, we succeeded almost in spite of Facebook. We didn't agree with a lot of the things Facebook was asking us to do. And Facebook tried to make sure that we didn't grow bigger. So I think there's a lot of animosity there between the people who built Instagram, even within Facebook, and the Facebook employees who feel a lot of ownership over that success.
Do you have an example of something Facebook wanted Instagram to do that was a total anathema to the Instagram founders?
Oh, it happened over and over again. The Facebook mentality is grow at all costs, get more people to use your product, capture their attention, capture their time. The Instagram mentality was make sure that Instagram is full of really interesting things that people want to go visit when they're there. And they really didn't appreciate a lot of the Facebook tactics, like, you know, sending constant notifications and emails to people to trick them into opening up the app. They didn't like the personalization and recommendation algorithms. They didn't like anything that was gimmicky or spammy. And that's certainly what Facebook would use to juice the numbers. They also wanted to keep their app very simple. In the beginning, Instagram was just those square photos. And today, if you look at Instagram, you can see the influence of Facebook. You've got the regular Instagram posts, but you've also got Instagram stories, reels, highlights, IGTV, Instagram shopping. It is much more like Facebook now.
Indeed. Don't tell the kids that. The kids hate Facebook.
And a lot of them don't know that Facebook owns Instagram.
Isn't that something? Well, the lawsuits focus primarily on Facebook's history of acquiring or attempting to acquire smaller companies, alleging that it uses its market power to quash potential competitors by buying them before they could turn into true rivals. They not only mention Instagram, but they also mention WhatsApp. All right, so let me play devil's advocate. Hey, this is America. What's wrong with that? Isn't that what a company is supposed to do? Wouldn't these other companies do it if they could?
Well, that's what Facebook is arguing, that this is exactly what you need to do if you want to survive in the cutthroat world of technology. And they have made the This is America argument. In fact, the argument that they make more often is that this is America, not China. And if you want America to be a superpower versus the rise of Chinese companies like ByteDance and Alibaba that are taking the world by storm, you better let Facebook be dominant and figure out what kind of internet India is going to use, for instance, or Indonesia or Brazil, as opposed to letting China decide for them. So I think that you do hear that argument. However, you also have to look at the tactics Facebook used in order to get to buy those competitors. One of the things that led them to the WhatsApp acquisition was they acquired this company called Onavo that essentially gave them a report of what kinds of apps people were using, not just how much time they spent on rival apps, but you know, what pages they visited on them, what kind of activity they did on them. And that allowed them to see the rise of WhatsApp and be able to buy it before it got any bigger. And of course, one of the reasons that Facebook purchased WhatsApp was so that Google wouldn't get it. Google wanted in as well. So now you have this company that the FTC says has a total monopoly over social networking, because they own not only the most popular social network, but also the two alternatives.
Do you think they're a monopoly?
I think that Facebook is too big to solve its most important problems. I really think the definition of monopoly, people, you know, I've covered this beat for a while. I remember, 5 years ago, everyone was asking, is Facebook a media company? Should they be a media company? Because they should have liability. The question isn't as relevant as the problem. The problem is that Facebook has this incredible scale to the extent that they are not able to solve problems for their users anymore. They simply don't have the visibility into the bad stuff that's happening on Facebook. And that's bad for you and I. If we're going about our days, we're building our businesses on Facebook. You know, if I'm launching a bakery on Instagram and then my account gets shut down by Facebook's AI and I have nowhere to turn ahead of the holidays, like, I've talked to people like that. You know, they're stuck. There are no humans to call. There's no customer support. If you have relatives who have been swept up to conspiracy theories, if you have learned bad information about how to protect yourself from COVID, Facebook is responsible for that, and yet it's not taking responsibility for it. And that's really where the problem is.
So basically, Facebook's like, if you don't like it, call 1-800-EAT-DIRT.
Facebook's like, there are many alternatives, and, you know, that's why we're not a monopoly, because you could always fire up Snapchat.
Gotcha.
The thing is, they've got this massive network, and why would you go anywhere that has fewer people?
You know, we were talking about things that Facebook is saying in response to these lawsuits. One other thing they're saying, they're calling this revisionist history. They say that, hey, we came to the government and said we're going to buy WhatsApp and Instagram, and you all said that's perfectly okay. Go ahead and do it. Why are you going back on that approval right now? What do you make of that reasoning?
Well, when the FTC looked over the Instagram and Facebook acquisitions, it's not like they, you know, popped a bottle of champagne for them and said, congrats, guys. Like, they just said that they weren't going to pursue any action against the deal at that time. So they let it pass, but they didn't let it pass with flying colors. It was more like, okay, well, you know, we see no reason to block this at this time. And I think that's a little different than what Facebook is saying, because Facebook is saying, like, you endorse this, which I don't think, if you read the statements from the FTC, I don't think that they necessarily endorse these deals.
You know, 48 states, including Connecticut, where I am right now, have joined in on this lawsuit. Why? What's the harm to a state like Connecticut?
Well, the harm to states is exactly what I was talking about earlier, which is that Facebook simply doesn't have the ability to solve the problems for its users because it's so big. And if you have a state like Connecticut, to Facebook, that's like a margin error in the data if there's a major problem. And I think that's an issue when you have a company that gets so big that, you know, if something happens, they will only really react to it when there's a big brouhaha in the media, when there is pressure from regulators. Otherwise, they're all about the growth. They're all about getting more users around the world, expanding beyond Connecticut. And they haven't really stopped to look backwards and think, did we do the right thing here? Or is our product serving people the way we want it to?
So, again, you're saying that like Connecticut's so small on the greater scheme of things that they would get the 1-800-EAT-DIRT number, too, if they wanted to complain.
And that's absolutely true. It's all automated on the customer service side. It's all, you know, the content moderation is happening mostly via AI, and it's not sophisticated enough to find all the hate speech and spam and fakery that's on Facebook. It's tough. It's a tough technical problem. It's a tough human problem. And it's just the size that makes that harder.
The one thing that's always troubled me, according to the lawsuit, Mark Zuckerberg said in a 2008 email that it's better to buy than compete. And then later that same year, the lawsuit says, he was expressing disappointment about a failed bid to buy Twitter, and Zuckerberg put down in writing, "I was looking forward to the extra time that would have given us to get our product in order without having to worry about a competitor growing." Mark Zuckerberg is a very smart guy. He went to Harvard. How does he keep getting quoted saying these things? How does he keep writing things like this down? Does he not understand they could come back to bite him?
Oh, this is always a great revelation for these CEOs when they understand that they're powerful enough to actually get scrutinized. I mean, I think at the time we were celebrating Mark Zuckerberg. He was a wunderkind. He was the boy genius wearing hoodies and portrayed in The Social Network. I mean, people thought he was an asshole, but they didn't think that he was evil. And I think that he has now become something of a villain in the public imagination, and Facebook with its power has become something to hold accountable. So Zuckerberg, if he looks at his company, he thinks of himself as the underdog. And I actually think to this day that Zuckerberg believes Facebook is an underdog and, you know, still trying to fight for its survival. That's the mentality you need if you want to continue to grow in tech.
Have you met Mark Zuckerberg?
Many times.
What are your impressions?
Well, I think that he is very much an engineer. Like he thinks of everything in terms of a database technical problem. I think the exception is Instagram, where he let his ego and emotion over Facebook's legacy get in the way of maybe what users wanted when he restricted resources for the company. But I think that Zuckerberg is looking at the data, seeing more people are using this, more people are relying on this product. The more we get them to rely on Facebook, the more valuable Facebook is. And those numbers tell a story despite what public opinion says. You know, he can always look at the numbers getting bigger and say, okay, well, we're still on the right track. And I think when you think about the arguments that he's been making, like hate speech is a fraction of a percent of the overall content on Facebook. Misinformation is a fraction of a percent. You know, in terms of 3 billion users of a product, that can be a really big number. And so I think that thinking of things at scale is just different than thinking of them in terms of you know, human interest.
So we have this lawsuit going on. What is your prediction for how this lawsuit plays out?
Years of legal battle. We are not close to the finish line. The request to break up Facebook from Instagram was the opening negotiation. I think that this is going to turn into a sort of long-fought battle between Facebook and the states and the FTC, and it's going to cause a lot of uncertainty for the company.
Well, Facebook can certainly afford the hourly fees. Do they get broken up? Do they lose WhatsApp? Do they lose Instagram?
I think given the legal teeth that they're going to bring to bear, I think that's probably unlikely, but I think the government's going to try.
Sarah Fryer, go check out her book, No Filter, The Inside Story of Instagram. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.